So his last two lines, I only know I cannot drift beyond his love and care. And I'm standing here, not just as a local preacher, but as chaplain of Archers Court and Elmside at the back. And you know, old age is tough. An extreme old age is really tough. Do you know, one of the most common things residents of Archers Court and Elmside say to me is, don't get old, it's really hard. And you know, when I look at them, I have to agree. You know, the deteriorations in sight and in hearing make communication so much harder. The knees, the hips, the feet, they don't work as they used to. A memory starts playing its tricks. They get muddled up with other memories or simply disappear altogether. You know, why on earth do we have old age? Well, I could be trite and I could say, well, Moses was 80 when God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, which means he was about 120 when he died, just before the Israelites entered the Promised Land. Or I could talk about other biblical figures who we're told lived hundreds of years and still had plenty of life within them. I've forgotten how old Methuselah was, but it's 900 or something, I think. But that's not our reality today, is it? For most of our very elderly, and I'm talking those well into their 90s and into their hundreds, life is not about starting new work particularly, but about reflection, consolidation, a chance to look back and try and make sense of that life that has been lived, that by the sheer logic, they know is coming to an end. And that includes reassessing how they fit within this world as part of God's creation, as one of his children. And I think for some, they are able to echo those words of Jeremiah that we heard in Lamentations. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I will remember them. And my soul is downcast within me. But the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know, to come alongside people who have got to this place is such a privilege. You know, and Shirley talked about magic moments, and coming alongside somebody who is there is such a magic moment when they can remember and think about how they've been treasured and loved. You know, there's that lovely song, isn't there? Time can't erase the memory of those magic moments of love. And what I find is it's in those moments that I come away having been ministered to, rather than having offered ministry. But of course, for the majority, they're still coming along that journey, and some are stuck. There are some who've even turned back through doubt, discouragement. Or there are those who struggle with memory loss and dementia, and so no longer have that mental capacity to look back and reflect and come to that sense of peace and hope. It's as a chaplain, I believe it's part of my role is to help people through that process as much as they are able. But it's not just my role. I truly believe that just as we place a priority on our children, on our young people in our care, so we should place as much priority on caring for and walking beside the very old amongst us. You know, our older people are not the church of the past, just as children are not the church of the future. We are all the church of today. And we are all God's beloved children. And he will never leave us beyond his love and care. As Dame Cicely Saunders said, who's a founder of the modern day hospice movement, she said, you matter because you are you. And you matter to the last moment of your life. Yet in today's society, we have complex and often contradictory relationships with our older people. Often we don't even recognise they're becoming elderly, and I know I'm as guilty of that as anyone. Because I now work with people who are a good 10, if not 20 years older than my mum, and she's not here today, so I can say this, I forget she's nearing her 80s. And I get frustrated when she says she doesn't want to do something because she doesn't think she can anymore. And we get, you know, a bit, come on, mum, you're fine. Well, actually, she's nearly 80, bless her. And that's the case for actually so many of our community here. We have so many who are well into their late 70s and 80s, still fulfilling very active roles in running this church. And that's wonderful. Because that adage of you use it or you lose it does ring true. You know, I've seen people who stop doing things and they lose the ability to do those things. So those of you who my Bible study, that's why I don't do the washing up. Make you do it. Yet once people reach that stage where we think of them as elderly, how we care for them, unfortunately, is a cause of much debate and often fear. And of course, that's not helped by the things we hear in the press, who, of course, love a shock story. So we hear about abuse of older people, and that is absolutely essential. That kind of thing must and should always be exposed and dealt with. But what they don't talk about is places where good care is offered. And how we as a society can learn to reach out to those who need our compassion, our companionship, and so often our listening ear. You know, even the word care home has a bad name to it, and we talk about putting our people in them. At least we rehouse our pets. But we put our relatives in a home. Would it not be better to think about our language and talk about finding a new home for our parent, albeit one that's within a community, where one moves to live, not to simply wait until the end, and certainly not where somebody is put. And I do truly believe that within our local area we have some great care homes that give good, if not excellent, care, where the residents there can start to find a degree of peace, companionship, and that space to reflect on the life they've lived. And I do believe that Elmside and Archer's Court fall within that category. That doesn't mean we don't get things wrong. Of course we do. But I think we work very hard as a community of volunteers, visitors, residents, relatives and staff to be the best we can be. But how, as we as a church community called to respond to our very old amongst us, how can we reach out and enjoy those magic moments with them and with those who are realising that they will be actually coming to the time in their life where this kind of residential care may be the best option? And of course, what are we doing amongst those amongst us who are suffering from memory problems and dementia? Because actually, it's fairly easy to visit those who still have their faculties. You spend time chatting, listening to their stories, and wow, what stories they've got. But what about when communication is challenged? When you feel you're hearing the same story over and over and over again, or where people are so muddled, it becomes incomprehensible. Or where you feel that your visit has had no value because the person didn't recognise who you were. I just want to say a few things. Firstly, a lot of older people repeat stories not because they've forgotten they told you, but because they are needing to rehear it and rehear it again and again as they make sense of what happened. It's particularly interesting that a lot of our 90 pluses are people who fought in the war. And those war stories are so important because they need to make sense of what they experienced, what they understood, what they saw when they were out fighting. And they need to do it over and over again. It's like a little child, isn't it, that learns a joke and tells it you. They're trying to understand it, to internalize it, to make it make sense. So if you are hearing the story for the umpteenth time, take heart. You're actually helping that person along that journey. So don't get cross, just listen. Because when you suddenly start making those connections, something else happens. There is a spiritual connection that grows up inside you too as that relationship is developed. And just remember, it will well be your turn one day. And I just pray that you will have somebody who's willing to listen to you when you need to repeat and repeat and rehear your story. The second thing I'd like to just bring a challenge to is that actually young people and old people get on quite well. Much against popular opinion, and actually teenagers often get on with the very old very well. They love to hear these stories from long ago. And particularly at the moment, if any of our children are doing anything to do with the war and this history that's going on, these are the people that were there. These are the people who have the real stories. So let's look at how we as a church community can forge our links between our young and our old. I know we have some of our young people who do go into Elmside and other homes as volunteers. They go in to chat, to play games. If the musicians amongst us are there, go in and have a little concert. We have one girl who comes in regularly every week to play her flute. And it's so appreciated by the residents, but it's also appreciated by the teenagers as they come alongside people and learn things. And sometimes we find older people can say something into a situation the teenager is working with that no other person could, certainly not a parent. There are practical examples. You know, over at Elmside we have a summer and a winter fair. And as a little plug, the summer fair's coming up on the 7th of July. Perhaps we could encourage our young people to go over and help move furniture, but then chat with the residents. Because again, when you get people together, there is that spiritual connection where magic moments happen and fun and laughter and communion and sharing is encouraged. And then finally, how do we reach out to those amongst us suffering from dementia? You know, MHA has some value statements, and one of them is we nurture each person's body, mind, and spirit to promote a fulfilled life. So we know dementia attacks the mind, and it will eventually attack the body too. But I'm beginning to wonder whether that allows the spirit to just rise up and become freer, to come to the forefront when our residents are able to respond on a level that can't be understood or explained because that's our mind working. I can think of two wonderful situations. There was one time when we had a lady who didn't speak very much, and her husband faithfully visited every day and often took his wife to the coffee shop where she could sit and look out at the flowers in the garden, a different scene. And I was sitting with them one day, and you got very little out of Margaret, and what you did didn't make much sense. But we were sitting there, and Harry, her husband, was just holding her hand. And suddenly she turned around to him, and she said, "You do know I love you, don't you?" Wow. And he just very calmly said, "Yes, and I love you too." What a moment. And then she just seemed to cloud over and go back to wherever she was. But it was just being there that had brought that out. Or the fact that sometimes when I go into CEDARS, our dementia unit, and we start singing some hymns, you'll have people that can talk absolute gibberish or nothing at all. But they sing their hymns and they know the Lord's Prayer. And a light comes on, even if only for a short moment. Those are the magic moments you get with people with dementia. And also, please remember, people with dementia may forget cognitive things. They forget who they are, who you are, what happened when, what. But they never forget emotions. And visiting is about that emotional connection. It's about bringing somebody to a place of peace and contentment. You know, if we've been singing hymns or saying the Lord's Prayer, you can feel the place settle and people are less restless. So never ever think that a visit to somebody with dementia has no worth because they didn't remember you or didn't remember you were there. If you can leave with somebody feeling good, that's their magic moment and it will last for a long time. As God's people, we're called to reach out to all in need, especially the most vulnerable in society. We've seen through what Louise presented to us, that wonderful work of Open Doors, with people in situations we just can't comprehend really. But we also have those right on our doorstep. And as Louise said, there are envelopes out for collection towards the work of MHA. These monies are not ploughed into the buildings, the day-to-day running of the organisation. It's always ring-fenced and put to one side to provide things that give life that extra bit of meaning. It pays for reflexologists. It pays for music therapists. In place for chaplains, but it also means that if anybody's in financial difficulties, there is a pocket of money there to support somebody if they need it. So please just give what you can. But more importantly, please engage with those residents who live a stone's throw. I probably couldn't throw that far, but I'm sure some of you could. Just across our garden. Go and visit a resident, even if it's just for half an hour once a month. Speak to those who are amongst us, who've come to share in worship with us. Volunteer to run an activity or play a game or just go in and do an occasional concert. You know, speak to me at any time if you can help. But let's treasure our whole church community and let's treasure those older people in our care as we make magic moments for us all. Because I would want each and every one of us to be ready to stand before the King, our Lord, as he says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these broken people of mine, you did for me." Amen.